Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever stopped to wonder how those incredibly precise parts get made? You know, for everything from a jet engine to like delicate medical devices.
Yes, amazing stuff.
We're talking components with tolerances tighter than a human hair. And, you know, this isn't just about the big machines, it's really about the skilled experts who bring them to life.
Exactly.
So today, we're doing a deep dive into the critical world of CNC machinists. And also the specialized field of CNC machinist staffing. Our mission for you today is to understand not just what a CNC machinist does, but why this role is more vital than ever. We'll look at the career paths available and how a unique staffing approach is tackling this, well, growing urgent demand for these precision manufacturing experts.
And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is that a CNC machinist isn't just an operator. They are really a precision manufacturing expert. They're the ones programming, setting up, and operating these computer numerical control or CNC machines, you know, to create those absolutely critical industrial components we rely on every day. It's this kind of compelling blend of engineering, advanced technology, and honestly, some real artistry.
You know, it's probably not a role many people think about often, but the demand for these skilled individuals is actually rising incredibly
It
fast.
really is.
When you consider factors like increased reshoring, that trend of bringing manufacturing back stateside, an aging workforce, and just the expansion of advanced manufacturing sectors, you start to see why this isn't just a high-demand job. It's kind of a linchpin for, well, national security and innovation.
Absolutely, it's strategic.
And that's really where specialized staffing becomes such a game changer for both the companies and the job seekers.
So to really kick us off and maybe demystify this a bit, what exactly is a CNC machinist at their core? Okay, so at its most basic, a CNC machinist operates computer numerical control machines. Think of them as automated tools controlled by coded instructions, specifically something called G-code, to produce these incredibly precise parts.
G code, right?
Yeah. And these parts go into aerospace, automotive, defense, energy, medical manufacturing, you name it.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, these aren't just push-button jobs, not at all.
No.
Machinists play a really active, highly skilled role in the whole engineering and quality assurance process. They take raw materials like steel, titanium, or even high-performance plastics and shape them into these complex parts with exact, often microscopic tolerances.
Wow. It really highlights how vital that precision is, doesn't it? It
Definitely.
touches so many sectors you might not immediately connect. You know, from what flies above us to what's used in an operating room. It's pretty incredible. So if someone were to walk onto a shop floor, what would a CNC machinist actually be doing day to day? What are their daily responsibilities beyond just operating the machine?
Oh, a CNC machinist definitely wears many hats. Their typical day is quite dynamic, actually. It often starts with interpreting complex blueprints and CAD drawings. They have to understand every single dimension and tolerance.
Okay.
Then they translate that into instructions. So, programming the CNC machines using sophisticated CAM software, you know, like MasterCAM, Fusion 360,
Great
SolidCAM,
software.
or sometimes by directly inputting that G code we mentioned. Then a really crucial step is setting up the tooling and fixtures for new jobs or batch runs.
Fixtures. Those are like the custom clamps.
Exactly. Custom clamps and devices that hold the raw material precisely in place. Super important. They also meticulously calibrate the machines, adjusting everything from speeds and feeds to the depth of the cuts. And throughout the operation, they're constantly monitoring, making mid-process corrections as needed. They have to be vigilant.
I bet.
And once the parts are produced, the quality control aspect is huge. They inspect the finished components using precision tools like micrometers, gauges, and CMM, coordinate measuring machines, really sophisticated stuff for checking dimensions. I actually once saw a seasoned machinist detect a flaw that was literally hair thin just by feel. That level of sensory detail, you know, combined with the technology, it's remarkable.
Wow, that's impressive.
It is. They also document production results, log quality control reports, and importantly, they maintain the machines, doing minor repairs, reporting bigger issues to the maintenance teams.
That detailed look at their daily work really makes you appreciate how incredibly hands-on it is, and detail-oriented, and, well, problem-solving too.
Absolutely.
It sounds like it's far more than just operating a machine. It's almost like they're the eyes and hands of the engineering process right there on the floor.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
So for someone listening who's now thinking, okay, this sounds incredibly challenging but also rewarding, what's the typical journey into this field? And where does that career path ultimately lead?
Well, the entry points are usually quite clear. Most candidates will have a high school diploma. or a GED. And typically, they'll have a technical school certificate or maybe an associate degree in machining, manufacturing, or even mechanical engineering technology.
Okay, so some formal training is common.
Yes, very common. And practical skills are absolutely key. Experience with CAD/CAM software.
Computer-aided design, computer-aided manufacturing.
Right. And a working knowledge of G-code, plus specific CNC controls, like FANUC, Hausis, or Siemens controls, those are pretty much non-negotiable. Strong math skills are essential, too. I'm talking algebra, trigonometry, basic geometry for understanding all those tolerances.
Makes sense.
And then there's manual dexterity, a real attention to detail, the ability to read technical drawings accurately, and a basic grasp of materials, science, and tooling. You need to know how different metals behave.
Sure.
And beyond those technical skills, the soft skills are equally crucial. Things like time management, communication, teamwork, and just sharp problem-solving abilities. You run into issues, you need to figure them out fast.
Right, because downtime is expensive.
Exactly. As for career paths, most people start as CNC machine operators, maybe handling more repetitive tasks. With experience, they often advance into setup roles, then into full machinist positions where they're doing more programming and troubleshooting. From there, the path can lead to becoming a lead machinist, maybe a shop supervisor, a dedicated CNC programmer, or even moving into manufacturing engineering.
Wow, quite a ladder.
Yeah. And advanced certifications like those from NIMS, the National Institute for Metalworking Skills, or American Machinist, they're highly valued. They really enhance employability and consistently lead to higher pay and leadership roles.
So it sounds like if you're looking for a career with clear progression, a tangible impact, and a strong emphasis on continuous learning, this is incredibly promising.
Definitely. It's a solid path.
Okay, that brings us to a really practical question. What does a CNC machinist typically earn? Let's talk compensation. What's it like in this field?
Sure. In the United States, salaries definitely vary by region and specialization, as you'd expect. But here's a general breakdown. An entry-level machinist, maybe 0 to 2 years experience, can expect to earn around, say, $38,000 to $45,000 annually. Mid-level machinists, maybe 3 to 5 years in, typically fall into the $45,000 to $58,000 range.
Okay.
For experienced machinists, 6 or more years, salaries often reach $60,000 to $70,000, sometimes more. And if you specialize, say, in CNC programming, those roles can command $65,000 to $85,000 plus.
That's significant.
Yeah. And lead machinist or supervisor positions, you could be looking at $70,000 to $95,000 plus. And keep in mind, sectors like aerospace and defense, because of their extreme precision requirements and strict compliance standards, often pay at the higher end of these ranges.
Those salary ranges are quite robust, aren't they? Especially for skilled trades that maybe don't always get the spotlight they deserve.
They really are.
Are there any common misconceptions about what machinists earn, maybe compared to other manufacturing roles, or are there potential downsides perhaps to compensation in certain regions?
That's a great question. Yeah, one common misconception is that it's just a blue-collar job with limited earning potential. But as we see, skilled machinists, and especially programmers, can command excellent salaries, often exceeding many entry-level white-collar positions.
Right.
A potential downside can be geographic, like you mentioned. If you're in a region with fewer advanced manufacturing hubs, the opportunities and maybe the pay might be lower. That said, the demand is so high right now that good machinists are often courted. Sometimes they're even offered relocation packages to move where the work is.
Okay. That really adds a layer of nuance there. So given this strong demand, how are companies actually finding this talent? This seems to be where CNC machinist staffing comes in. What exactly is that?
Right. CNC machinist staffing is essentially a specialized recruitment process. Agencies focus specifically on finding, vetting, and placing skilled CNC professionals. These roles can be full-time, contract, or temp to perm. These specialized agencies act as really critical intermediaries. They handle everything from sourcing the talent, screening resumes, doing technical skill testing.
Skill testing, interesting.
Yeah, practical tests sometimes. They also coordinate interviews, handle compliance paperwork, and even help with onboarding. For employers, this service is absolutely vital. Why? Because machine downtime is incredibly costly.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We're talking missed deadlines, potentially lost contracts, decreased quality if things aren't right, and even burnout among the existing staff trying to pick up the slack. So these staffing partners help companies quickly fill roles without compromising on the high quality needed. They can tap into niche talent pools the company might not reach on its own. It significantly reduces the time to hire and the overall recruiting costs. It helps companies scale up production capacity rapidly for large orders. And crucially, it helps mitigate those skill gaps by providing pre-vetted, qualified machinists.
It really sounds like a lifeline for companies, especially in a tight labor market.
It often is.
But what about the job seeker? How does partnering with a staffing agency benefit a machinist who might be looking for their next opportunity?
From the machinist's perspective, these agencies can unlock a whole new world of opportunities. They often provide access to job openings that aren't even advertised publicly.
Oh, interesting. The hidden job market.
Exactly. And they can offer fast-track placement into reputable shops and, you know, OEMs, original equipment manufacturers. Think of them almost as career navigators. They can provide negotiation help for pay, shift preferences, benefit.
That's valuable.
Very valuable. They offer career counseling, maybe resume guidance. And critically, they create these bridge opportunities, starting as temporary, maybe proving yourself, and then getting hired full time. Many skilled machinists actually use staffing firms quite strategically as stepping stones to find better pay, or maybe to work with more complex state-of-the-art equipment, or simply to get into highly sought-after companies that offer strong long-term career growth.
That flexibility and that sort of strategic partnership for the individual really stands out. It's not just about filling a seat.
Not at all. It's about career building.
Okay, now let's dive a bit deeper into the different ways these staffing firms operate. What are the different types of staffing services they offer? And what are the primary hurdles this specific industry faces today?
Sure. There are several established models they use. Temporary staffing is pretty common, ideal for short-term needs like seasonal peaks, special projects, or maybe covering for an employee who's out on leave.
Okay.
Then there's temp to hire. This allows employers to evaluate a machinist during a trial period before making a full-time offer. It's a fantastic win-win, really. Reduces risk for both sides.
Yeah, try before you buy.
Kind of, yeah. Then you have direct hire. That's where the agency facilitates a permanent placement right from the start. This is typically for more specialized or maybe leadership roles. And for larger operations, there's something called on-site managed staffing, where a company might outsource the management of their entire contingent workforce to a staffing partner who works right there on-site.
Wow. Okay. That's comprehensive.
It is. But despite these flexible models, the CNC staffing space faces some significant and frankly evolving challenges. The most prominent one is that pervasive skills shortage we touched on earlier. The average age of a machinist is often cited as being over 50.
Over 50, wow.
Yeah, which means retirements are outpacing new people entering the workforce. And this isn't just a numbers game. It's a critical loss of institutional knowledge and experience. It creates this growing skills gap, especially as younger generations are often, well, less familiar with the trade to begin with.
That's a huge challenge.
It is. We also see those geographic disparities. Manufacturing tends to be concentrated in specific regions, think the Midwest, the Southeast, parts of Texas and California. This can lead to a natural reluctance for skilled individuals to relocate, even if the jobs are there.
Right, moving is a big deal.
And finally, the technological demands are constantly rising. As Industry 4.0 and automation advance, the technical skill floor just keeps getting higher. Agencies now have to evaluate not just manual skills, but also software fluency, digital literacy, adaptability to new systems. It's a rapidly evolving landscape they have to navigate.
It's clear that filling these roles isn't just about finding warm bodies, is it? It's about finding very specific, evolving skills in what sounds like a really competitive landscape. It's like an intricate puzzle.
That's a good analogy. It really is.
So how is the industry responding to these complex challenges? And what does the future of CNC staffing look like? Are there positive signs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're actually seeing some incredibly exciting trends emerge as the industry adapts. Reshoring and domestic production, that trend is real. And it's leading to an increased and, importantly, sustained demand for machinists right here in the U.S. This is driven by the need for more secure, localized supply chains, especially highlighted by, you know, recent global events.
Right. Pandemic definitely showed some vulnerabilities there.
Exactly. Companies are also investing heavily in upskilling and certification. They're partnering much more closely with trade schools now, creating robust apprenticeships and certification programs to actively build new talent pipelines from the ground up.
That's proactive. Good to hear.
Yeah. And interestingly, remote CNC programming is becoming more of a tangible thing. This allows for hybrid staffing models where programmers might work remotely while the machinists operate the machines locally. It expands the talent pool geographically.
Huh. I wouldn't have thought of remote work for machining.
Well, for the programming side, it's starting to happen. And modern staffing firms are increasingly using data-driven hiring, using AI tools, predictive analytics for more effective matching based not just on skills and experience, but even on culture fit.
Okay, embracing technology in the hiring process itself.
Precisely. Now, for success, best practices are critical across the board. For employers, it means clearly defining the role scope upfront, offering genuinely competitive wages and clear paths for advancement, and maintaining strong, transparent communication with their staffing partners.
Makes sense.
For the staffing agencies, it means rigorous screening. We're talking practical programming assessments, maybe tool recognition tests, checking quality control familiarity. They need to stay deeply connected to trade schools and unions and provide regular feedback loops to both the candidates and the clients. And finally, for the candidates themselves, it's absolutely crucial to keep skills current. Taking CAM software workshops, getting advanced machinery certifications, building a strong professional resume that really highlights practical experience, and being open, perhaps, to those temp-to-hire roles as a strategic way into new companies and more advanced opportunities.
It sounds like this is a field that's not just enduring, but actively adapting and innovating. Which means constant opportunities for those who have the right skills and that right mindset. It really sounds like a dynamic space.
It truly is very dynamic right now.
So what does this all mean for you, our listener? We've seen how CNC machinists are, well, the absolutely indispensable backbone of precision manufacturing. They produce the essential components that literally build our modern world.
Yeah, the demand for CNC machinists just continues to grow. It's fueled by automation, that push for domestic production, and the unyielding need for ever-increasing precision. For employers, partnering with a specialized CNC staffing agency isn't just about filling a role. It really reduces hiring friction, it accelerates their time to productivity, and frankly, it offers a distinct competitive edge. And for machinists, these firms open doors to new opportunities, potentially higher pay, and genuine long-term career growth in what is truly an essential industry. So CNC machinist staffing, it's not just a service anymore. It's really become a strategic advantage for the entire manufacturing ecosystem.
Think about that for a moment. The level of precision, the problem solving required to make something as incredibly complex as a jet engine part, or maybe a surgical implant that goes inside a human body. Our deep dive today really shows us that the skilled trades are not only more critical, but also more technologically advanced and more vital than ever before. And this makes you wonder, doesn't it? What other behind-the-scenes roles in manufacturing are equally indispensable? And maybe more importantly, how do we ensure the next generation is prepared not just to fill these crucial roles, but to innovate within them?